Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, an ancient lake has reappeared in Death Valley. The San Francisco Giants have bought a historic theater in the city. An American is getting stingy on miles on cheap tickets. Those stories next in the news.
United Airlines has updated its already excellent app, and we'll talk about the upgrades in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
Airport lounges are all the rage these days, with even Southwest talking about adding places for travelers to escape within the airport. Why is that? We talk with our resident lounge lizard, Clayton Whitehead, at 11:35 to find out why they are so popular.
Our odds and ends segment, Mark talks about Embassy Suites isn't so Swedish any longer, and it appears that the hotel lobbyists are trying to curb vacation rentals. Updates behind the scenes at 11:50.
It's just about to rain in Sacramento. It's going to rain for so long, a guy named Noah is building what looks like a giant raft in our parking lot. Welcome to the weekly edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as Mark mentioned, we're all in for some pretty wet weather, but I guess we're kind of ready for it. I certainly am. Thanks for coming along. We're here for an hour of great information to make you a smarter traveler. Mark, how was your week? I know you were out and about with some Sports Leisure Vacationers. Tell us about it.
We took off, spent a little bit of time in Palm Springs this week, which I have to say, the weather in Palm Springs Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday was 75, and the winds were about 5 miles an hour, and the word perfect comes to mind. Of course, we heard from our friends here in Sacramento that you all, when was the last time the sun came out here? 1968 or was that 69 or
something like that?
It's not going to happen. It doesn't look like for the next couple of days it's going to rain here. But no, we had a wonderful time in Palm Springs, and I have a few things to share. We were down there for a charity concert put on by Barry Manilow. Probably not everybody who's listening to this program's thing, but if you are a Barry Manilow fan, he does a series of holiday concerts in Palm Springs, which is home to him and his partner, every other year. And he's done this now 7 times over a period of 14 years, and they raise a lot of money. He pays his band to come down from Las Vegas, where he is in residency, and picks up all the expenses. And so almost, except for the theater rental, all the dollars that they take in go to local charities in Palm Springs. And this year, the 7 concerts are raising about $500,000. So that's a lot of money every couple of years into some very worthy causes in the area. And it was just a terrific concert. And if you're ever in Palm Springs, a great place, the theater there, the McCallum Theater, is truly one of the best acoustically done theaters. The sound there is just terrific. And so if you're ever in Palm Springs and somebody says, hey, you know, let's go there, a number of entertainment venues there, but this is the biggest one. And the biggest one is not as big as most main theaters in cities. The McCallum holds about, I think it's about 1,100 people, so it's a reasonably small theater. Not a bad seat in the house. Anyway, Manilow did a great job. It was a wonderful concert. If you're going to Palm Springs, some things that you should definitely consider: the aerial tramway, for sure. It's a state park up at the top. The ride is about $35 to go up and down, and there's a restaurant at the top, so you can make a reservation, or you can take your chances, but I would recommend a reservation. You could have lunch or dinner up there. The food is so-so, and it's a little bit overpriced. They have to haul it up on top of a mountain. So, but if you are hungry, it's not a bad. There's also a snack bar there, and there are places to walk around. Palm Springs is known, of course, for being the home of celebrities, and many celebrities, starting with people like Sinatra back in the 50s, have called Palm Springs home. And in many cases, they went there to escape from the hubbub of Hollywood. So they didn't build big mansions. They built somewhat modest homes, although they are rather large one-story modest homes because a lot of them did a lot of entertaining. And you could take a tour, and many of the old homes have plaques on the gates that will tell you who lived there. And in some cases, you can even rent. You can stay in Sinatra's old house if you've got $3,000, and for a minimum of three nights, for $9,000, you can stay in Sinatra's house and even sleep in the bed that he slept in. And you'll just be a little lighter in the wallet for it. But yeah, lots of places. We did a couple of other fun things that some of our listeners might consider. There is a Jeep ride that will take you out on the San Andreas Fault. And you can see spots where the ground is shifted. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen while you're out there. But nonetheless, it's fascinating because that fault is a big part of life here in California. There also are a lot of windmills there in the pass between Los Angeles and Palm Springs. And you can go out and learn about those, how they generate power, and why they are incredibly safer and incredibly more efficient than some other sources of power generation. So there are things in Palm Springs to do. And of course, lots and lots of great restaurants, fancy resorts, but increasingly modestly priced properties that if you're not looking for a luxury experience, you can stay in for $150, $175 a night and not have to pay a big king's ransom. Anyway, that was a little more of a rant than I planned, but we had a great time in Palm Springs. Mr. Manilow is 82 years old, and he puts on as good a show. I mean, he's a showman, and that's been his thing all of his career, and he's still a showman at 82.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the best. Started his career as a jingle writer and writing songs for other people. All right, well, that sounded like you guys had a great time. Be sure to ask me a little later on in the program how I spent my week. Okay. Now, we won't do it now because at the top of every Travel Guys radio program somewhere, and probably now, we bring folks up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
When we can get Mark to stop babbling, the show can move on. all right, let's see here. Some items in the news. Remember when the Army helicopter in Washington, D.C. collided with the American Airlines jet? That was back in January, almost a year ago now. Everybody on both craft went down in the waters there off of National Airport. The federal government says that it was the helicopter's fault. It was flying where it wasn't supposed to be and shouldn't have been there. That doesn't really help anybody, but it at least establishes something that maybe that's really crowded airspace in and around National Airport. And it kind of seems logical to me that you would try to keep all aircraft that weren't commercial or attached to the president sort of out of that area, because there is it's a limited space and there's a lot of room for problems there. Speaking of which, the FAA is going to spend $6 billion upgrading air traffic, telecom, and radar around the country. This is something that has been talked about for a long, long, long time and something that is very much needed. We have a very safe air traffic control system, but using current and modern technology will keep it safe and up to date. And considering that, you know, planes are running into each other on the ground, we don't want them to run into each other in the air. Alaska, cities in Alaska, especially Juneau, have been actively trying to discourage cruise ships from coming to their cities. They feel like they're maxed out. And Juneau, in fact, passed some regulations limiting the size and the numbers of ships that can come in. And here comes this headline that says, cruise newcomers in Alaska bring more competition. So I'm not sure. These two stories don't really line up with each other. Virgin Voyages is coming to Alaska this next year. CLIA, which is the organization that kind of manages cruise ships and their information, says the total number of ships will increase from 54 to 60 between 25 and 26. Alaska accounts for about 6% of the planet's cruise capacity. So interesting. I guess there will be more. Maybe some of these guys are going to try to go to places that other people don't go to, although You know, you got to have a dock, and you got to have infrastructure, and you got to have, you know, places for people to go when they get on shore. So kind of an interesting situation in Alaska. Have you ever been up to Alaska, Tom?
I have not. I'm planning on a trip next fall, and I'd like to see if I could get up there. And, you know, this overcrowding, this with the cruise ships kind of reminds me in a small way of what I saw on TV last night over in Italy, where people are being charged now to be able to get close to some of their most important monuments and fountains because it's just out of control. There's just too many tourists. What did we call it? Over-tourism?
Well, yeah, and this is something that has developed over the last 20 years or so. They have more freedom to travel. And I've noticed it in my company. We used to be mostly a domestic Sports Leisure Vacations. We're a tour operator. And by and large, our operations were domestic, especially if you include Canada as being domestic. So 95% of our trips were on the continent. I would say now next year in our catalog, we have probably 75% of our trips are on the continent. And the ones that are not are selling the best. So there are going to be more of those because people want to go to other places around the planet and discover how other people live. And I think that's tourism is a great thing for humanity, in my opinion. Of course, it's my business and has been most of my life. But I say that because when people travel and they meet other people and they see how other people live, they are not only like, wow, okay, that's different from the way that I do it. That food tastes different. Those people live different, good, bad, or otherwise. You can make your own assessments when you're there in person and you can see what's happening and you can say, you know, this really is not right. I mean, this is not good, or wow, this is really a great place to go. And there's no way to do that really, unless you've been there yourself in person. And once you've been there, you have a much greater understanding for the people and the places. And that's why people want to travel. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well, maybe one of these days, not only will you travel, well, maybe your, you know, predecessors will travel to other planets.
Yeah.
as we move from seeing everything on this particular planet. Pretty exciting, I have to say.
Yes, for sure. All right, let's see here. Going on with the news, the American Bus Association has joined a long list of people urging a delay of proposed national park international visitor fee increases. We talked about this. Where visitors are going to be charged ridiculous fees to enter our national parks. Even passes that were previously bought that were supposed to be valid in parks, regardless of where you were, they're talking about rolling that back too. So we'll keep an eye on this. Parks, some national parks, Yosemite, Yellowstone, some of them are incredibly popular. And back to that overcrowding thing that you just mentioned, but many of them are not. And so the discouraging people from visiting lesser visited places, I don't think is the direction we should be going here. I have some very strong opinions on all of these visa fees and stuff like that. Inbound international travel to the United States is a huge positive balance of trade. Visitors spend way more money here than we spend there. And so the fact that we're discouraging them and the fact that we have things like the Olympics and the World Cup coming up. This is going to be a CF like you've never seen before. You watch, we're going to get a couple more months down the road and people are going to start complaining that they can't get their visas and they can't come and they've already got tickets. And it's going to be, you watch our government scramble to fix things that they broke sometime over the next 12 months. Just remember, you heard it here first. An
wow.
Ancient lake has returned to Death Valley in California. This Lake Manly last appeared in 2023 when they got 2.2 inches of rain in Death Valley. In November, they got almost an inch and a half of rain. And they also got some in September and in early December. They're going to get some more next week. 2.4 inches of rain, which was record-breaking in November alone. So what has happened is this ancient lake bed that dried up years and years and years ago has now filled up with water again. and is likely now to stay filled up with water four times. So if you've never been there, Death Valley is a fascinating place. We haven't taken a group there for a number of years, and it's on our we're going to get it on the schedule in 2027. Death Valley sounds awful, just the name, but Tom, it's a really fascinating place.
It is absolutely
the environment and what you find there, and the opportunity. If you love learning about places, and some of the old ghost towns, rhyolite is perfectly preserved because nothing rots in the desert because of the dry. There's no humidity, so things tend to hang around. Anyway, we have a lake that we didn't have, at least for the last few million years. Jeff Kent, formerly of the San Francisco Giants, was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame by the Contemporary Baseball Era Committee. The reason I mentioned this on a sports travel program is because lots and lots and lots of folks travel to Cooperstown for Hall of Fame inductions. And if you're a Giants fan and you're thinking, wow, I want to go back and see Jeff Kent get inducted in August, just know that it's not going to be cheap. You're probably going to sit on the lawn. It's going to be perhaps humid, perhaps ungodly humid. Thunderstorms have been known to happen. It's not the most weatherproofed situation, but if you're really intent on going, it is possible to go. You'll probably have to buy tickets on the secondary market because there aren't very many, but contact the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. You can get on a list and they will let you know when tickets become available so that if you want to go back there. Cooperstown is about an hour and a half drive from Albany. That would be your gateway airport. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area up there in upstate New York. So if you Lake Placid is not too far away. So if you plan to go to Cooperstown, make sure that you, if you your schedule allows, give yourself an extra few days so that you can look around in the area. And congratulations to Jeff Kent, an old-time Giant who has been elected to the Hall of Fame. And speaking of the Giants, they're in the headlines in another way this week. The Giants bought the current theater in San Francisco, historic old theater that's been there forever. And the Giants, at 1922, it opened. So the Giants now own the Curran Theater. And I'm not sure what to make of that. I called the Giants and asked them for a comment. They didn't get back to me. I'm going to press them a little bit next week because I just think it's very interesting. I've never heard of a baseball team buying a theater.
Well,
how those connect.
How it connects and why they would even mention it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. I've drug along here and we've got some other stuff here. We'll all live without it. One last thing here. American is making a major change to their basic economy fares, which is the cheapest fare in their system. All of the major airlines have this. It's the way they compete with Spirit and Frontier. And so American now is not going to give you as many miles as they previously gave you if you buy the cheapest fare to get on the airplane. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Want to mention that we're running out of time to get those last-minute Christmas gifts, and the one I'm talking about is from Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, where they're now offering for a limited time, right up till Christmas, if you purchase a $100 gift card from Rudy's, they'll give you a $20 gift card for yourself. That's right. You buy $100, you get an extra $20. I guarantee you it'll be possibly the best gift you give to anybody this holiday season, whether they've been to Rudy's before or not. One of the best places in Sacramento to dine, whether you're going for their mega lobsters up to a pound and a half, or you want one of their fine steaks or one of their other many, many dining choices. So stop by Rudy's Lobster House in Hideaway and pick up that $100 gift card and get an extra $20 right there off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Okay? And we'll see you there. On with the Travel Guys we go. We're going to talk a little bit about how United is already has an excellent app. We're going to talk about the improvements that it has to make it even better. That's next with the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, here on Sactown Sports 1140. live on this fine Saturday morning. Okay, Mark.
Yeah, for now.
I know you've been a big fan of the United Airlines app for a long time, and have certainly let people know that if you fly, particularly fly United or any airlines, you should use their app. And you've bragged about the United Airlines app for some time, and I guess now it's getting upgraded, huh?
It is. They're adding some more things to it, and even lowly little Southwest now allows you to track your incoming flight. On United, you can track your plane back through the whole day, and even to where it was the night before. But at least on Southwest now, they've added so that you can find out where your plane is coming from and is it on time where it's coming from. So that at least, that's a big help because, if you're waiting for a plane that's coming from Chicago, it's going to be in the air for 4 hours. So if it's late, that gives you some time to adjust and not have to be sitting in an airport, which is the whole idea of this. Really and truly, if you fly, I can't think of a single travel tip that I could give you that would help you more. Put the airlines app on your phone. If you're an older person and you don't understand how to get an app onto your phone, then call your grandson up and say, hey, I need you to help me with. I mean, literally, somebody could walk you through it on the phone and help you get. It's not that hard. It doesn't cost anything. It will really help you. For example, I fly a lot of United, and so when I land on the ground, I turn on my phone, I pull up the United app, it immediately tells me where my connecting gate is. Maybe it changed while I was in the air, and so here's where it is. And if I'm not familiar with the airport, it tells me and shows me what is the easiest and fastest way to get there. So, if I need to stop and get something to eat or use the restroom along the way, this is going to tell, my flight leaves in an hour and 2 minutes, and it's going to take 17 minutes to get to the gate. Okay, so I've probably got enough time to pull all of that stuff off. It allows you to be more in control of your destiny. United is adding a feature that now will include information on the clubs. We're going to talk with Clayton Whitehead after the bottom of the hour about clubbing in airports, and sometimes they get into problems where they don't have enough space and there becomes a line. So this, now your app will tell you, well, this club is full, but the one on the other concourse is open. So if you had time to get over there, then you could do that. Another thing United has added that is just, I mean, this is golden. If you fly and you use rideshare, you know that every airport is an adventure. And some places like Seattle put the rideshare down across the Oregon border. I mean, literally, and some airports, there's signage and stuff like that, but it's still hard to find where these places are. And sometimes they tuck them in the stupidest moment. You would think that they would put rideshare in places where people could get to them, but no. And so this new United feature will tell you how to get to rideshare, which, trust me, there's probably people listening right now who are saying, wow, that would really help, because I remember the last time it took me 15 minutes to find the place and my ride drove away or I got charged for wait time or whatever. So United will tell you that. It will also tell you about, remind you what documents and the like that you need at the airport. So I don't doubt that other airlines apps have some of these services on them. But really and truly, if you fly without an airline app, then shame on you. Somebody should take a hammer to your head and boink you a couple of times, because you really, if I don't care how you feel about technology, this is one thing that helps, really, really, really helps. And it will tell you, you got no chance to make your connection. It's not going to happen. Or run, or the plane, your guess what? The plane you're connecting to is 20 minutes late. So now you don't have to dash to the gate. You've got plenty of time. Find a board somewhere and look at it while you're still on the plane. You already know what your circumstances are.
Yeah, a lot of times it happens where they'll change the location of your connecting gate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you might be lucky enough that the flight attendant will announce to the folks on the plane that has occurred, so that you'll be ready to go. But not everybody's going to be going to the same connection. But with your app, and I'm sure the new one will have it, you can hunt that down and be ready to go.
Listen, well, okay. It's holiday time. Grandma's going to be flying, and if she's coming to see you, then make sure that she has that app on her phone.
Well, all right. Good advice, and from somebody who flies United religiously. Looking forward to that Southwest lounge. I've been wanting to do lounges.
Yeah.
At least I think I do. Will be real interesting to listen to Clayton Whitehead, who will join us coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about his experience on the different lounges. He's referred to as a lounge lizard, and he agrees with that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Clayton is a self-proclaimed lounge lizard. All of that and more coming up as we continue right here on today's version of The Travel Guys.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you like traveling in these United States, next year you have two celebratory opportunities to travel. The first one is our country turns 250 years old in 2026. Sports Leisure Vacations has two tours that celebrate our independence. Pathways of Patriots is in April. It will take you to some of the colonial areas, especially around Williamsburg and Richmond, Virginia. And then there's Stars, Stripes in Carnegie Hall in April, which takes you to the City of Brotherly Love in Philadelphia and ends with a visit to New York City, to the colonial area district there, Francis Tavern and the like, and also a concert at Carnegie Hall. Those are in April of next year. And then coming up also in April and May, we'll celebrate the 100th anniversary of Route 66, the mother lode, the main street of America, as we go on the eastern side of the tour in April and May. And then in October, we will take folks from Oklahoma City to Santa Monica. So if you would like to celebrate the Mother Road, the ultimate off-the-beaten-track tour, give Sports Leisure Vacations a call or go to our website at sportsleisure.com, and you can join us on Route 66, the Main Street of America, in 2026.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to our special guests and so much more always can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. You know, when I go to the airport, I am always intrigued by the lounge that right there. And I look in the window and I go, gosh, I'd like to be able to go in there and hang out. I wonder how I could do that and how expensive is it. And some people love it and some don't. And as we've discussed before on this program, Mark, not so much.
Not so much.
Clayton Whitehead with Sports Leisure, very much so. So today we're gonna do a deep dive, if you will, with Clayton into the airport lounge deal. And I guess this is kind of on the heels of what we talked about a week ago. Mark, bring us up to date on what's going on with Southwest and their lounge interest.
Well, Southwest says that it's time to get into the lounge business because as we know, after Southwest was approached by a group of aggressive stockholders about a year ago and decided to make some dramatic changes in their operation, hypothetically to make it more profitable, because these folks felt that Southwest was leaving money on the table. So if other airlines can use the lounge system to engage their most frequent travelers and to increase loyalty and also perhaps as a revenue source, why then Southwest is saying, well, gee, why can't we do this? We don't have a first class cabin, but we think we have some premium customers who would still like to do this. So I immediately thought of our resident lounge lizard here at Sports Leisure Vacations, Clayton Whitehead, who a few years ago decided that he was going to be a lounge member pretty much no matter what. You know, the ways that you get into this is you get a credit card that costs you $500-$700 a year and includes lounge access, or you earn the lounge access by in other ways. But basically, it's never free. So like most good things in life. So I thought we would ask Clayton today, what is it that makes the lounge experience such an important part of why he travels, because when he's traveling, because I think we probably have a lot of other people who share some of his thoughts. I think he's nuts, but you know, I mean, that's that's up to him.
Yeah, and Clayton, he's not a lounge lizard. I've avoided saying that term because it's very easy to want to do that. But
okay, now wait a minute.
He doesn't really strike me as being the lizard type.
Tom, I can assure you, I am indeed a lounge lizard. If I have a tight connection, I mean, literally, if I only have 15 minutes between planes, I will find a way to get into the lounge if it's only to steal a cup of gummy bears.
Well, what is it that, I think this is a good place to begin. What is it that attracts you to the lounge, even if there's only 15 minutes between?
Well, it's a number of different things. One, it's just a quiet, peaceful environment. That is usually the exact opposite of the concourses, especially when there's a lot of planes that are running late and lots of people are very anxious and scurrying all over the place. You can duck in there. You can have a quick drink. You can have a little bit of food. You can grab some snackage and just have a breather. And actually, I had I know the price of the lounge is of concern to a number of people. I think when I first got into the United lounge business, it was about $300 a year. Now it exceeds $600. But it's important to me. I'm in a United plane between 4 and 12 times a month. That means I'm in an airport that many times, and most of those airports have a United lounge. Not that I think United is the greatest in the world, but all my eggs are in their basket. So they own me, and I guess I kind of own them.
Now, you say you duck in because it's not crowded. It's not busy. They're becoming more and more popular. I just kind of feel that it could be equally as crowded and busy. And how long do you have to wait to get a drink?
Well, there are different levels of lounge usage. A number of the credit card schemes come with day passes, and those are the lowest priority. So when the lounge is getting close to capacity, they'll turn off day use privileges. But I have the kind of membership that always gets me in, even if it's packed. Though usually there's plenty of space. As a case in point, I was in Palm Springs last night, not on United. Bad planning on my part. Me and two friends had a beer each, just one beer each, and we had a bowl of chips and salsa, and it cost me $65. I only have to do that 10 times to pay for a whole year of membership in the lounge. So to me, you can argue that that's way too much to pay for four beers and chips and salsa, but that is the going price at an airport. And to me, it represents good value, but I don't want to lose the point. I think the major point of lounge membership in all this talk of gummy bears and beer. And that is when something goes wrong, you've got a live person there who's going to help you, and they're going to help you pretty quickly. There's a big service counter inside all of the lounges, and it's only for the benefit of those that are inside. So, and when I'm traveling with a group, I carry them on my wings, literally and figuratively. I go in, I lay down my manifest or manifests. I say, okay, I'm a part of 25 people. Here are all of our names. Here are our reservation numbers. I need help. And either they can help me or they have direct access to the group department. But the point is, I'm not waiting in a line that's 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 people long, or dealing with apps on my phone. I've got a real live person who can help me.
See, I told you. I knew there was a secret to his madness, and that's the secret, is that when the chips are down, now you've got a line pass. Mm-hmm. And you've got, and also, am I not correct, the people who are in the lounges doing customer service tend to be a little more experienced and able to help than people at gates.
I would say that's definitely the case. I mean, these are people who have been put in that position because of their ability to extend hospitality. So they know the ropes of their own system, but they also are in a setting where being nice to the person they're talking to is kind of a big part of the job.
And generally, the people in those who are paying to be in those lounges are people like yourself. You're a longtime United customer because you work for a tour operator. You travel a lot. And so that being good to somebody like you, they may not know this, but by extension is being good to a whole bunch more people.
Absolutely. And I also am the kind of person who walks up in front of them, and I already have an idea of what I want and what I need. You know, I'm not just dumping a bunch of stuff out and going, oh my gosh, what do I do? But, you know, I know how the system works as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel it's a cooperative spirit, and ultimately, and hopefully, it gets me and my groups home on time or in a little bit better fashion than it might have been without that assistance.
If you're just joining us, you're with Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. Our guest, Clayton Whitehead, also with Sports Leisure Vacations, talking about airport lounges. Now, I have to ask, I don't make sure I'm not confused here. The food and beverages, the things that you get in the lounge are not free?
No, they're complimentary. They do have a premium bar that you have to pay a surcharge for.
Okay.
But if you're happy with the well drinks, you know, the common beer and wine, then it's included in the membership. There is one thing, though, I want to say, which is a popular misconception. Many people feel that when they upgrade to first class, that they're going to automatically get lounge access. That might be the case on other airlines. I kind of doubt it. It's definitely not the case on United. Now, if you're flying United International First Class, which is called Polaris Class, at their hubs, they have special Polaris lounges that you are welcome to visit. And they are, wow. I mean, they're like going into the bar at the Ritz-Carlton. They're very, very nice. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, just because you're in first, if you're not a member of the lounge, you don't get to come in.
No freebies for you just because you bought an upgraded ticket. Thanks, Clayton, for giving us a little bit of insight. So if you are a lounge member or you're in a lounge, just know that Clayton's tip is the folks who are in the lounge may be in a much better position to help you if you need some assistance than the folks outside.
And don't forget that United lounges have the best gummy bears in the world.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know. Clayton, thanks. We'll park all this information. Hopefully it'll be helpful to our listeners today.
Only guy that I know of who pays, $600 a year for a credit card so he can get gummy bears in the lounge between flights. If he has a 12-minute layover, he makes it into the lounge and still makes the plane. It's even if he's got 25, 30 people traveling with him.
Wow. I got to know more about these gummy bears. I have some friends and family who are gummy bear fanatics, and I'm having to make sure that Clayton drags at least a couple home to sample.
Well, and his point is very, all of that stuff about the lounges and stuff, you can throw that all away. It's all worth, you know, 2 cents, except for the part at the end there where he talks about the fact, because this is absolutely true. The agents that are in the lounges are more senior, they're more knowledgeable, they can make more things happen than the people Canada Gate. So if for no other reason, if you're a frequent traveler, just that ability, and I know that, you know, Clayton as a tour director has even used that resource and said, look, you know, as he said, look, here's my list. I've got 28 people with me. Help me. And in many cases, they will help him. So money well spent, at least on that end. All right. Coming up next, we're going to go to the odds and ends bucket. And the first topic is how Embassy Suites aren't so sweets anymore. That's next on the Travel Guys.
Yeah, it's in my pocket is, a granola bar and a bottle of water in my hip pocket so I can find a place to sit and eat it and have something to drink and skip the lounge. We are Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, ask me what I did this week.
Tom, what did you do this week? I stayed at an Embassy Suites. What did you do that had to do with suites?
Well, it had to do with Sweden, but actually, you know, I had a couple of, it was like all the dentist appointments for the entire year in 1 week, back to back. That took an extended period of time. Give you an idea, Dr. Mercado and the technician Tina, who did a great job helping me get a couple of new crowns on my teeth. And when they kick you back, they have a beautiful screen above you. and they play these like travelogues. And there was one about Sweden. And I had no idea it was such an expansive country with its own Iceland and icebergs and national parks and such. But anyway, I was in this position having some work done that Tina was taking care of. And I was there long enough to watch the entire documentary and see it start over. So nothing against my dentist. They're really the greatest. Sometimes things don't always go as smoothly as you like. But, you know, who would have thought that you could have a travel adventure while on your back at a dentist's office?
Well, and I'm so happy that you have this venue where you can, you know, discuss your trip to the dentist. And, you know, it's the end of the year, so in many cases the dentist is calling you and saying, hey, you know, your insurance allows for another cleaning, and get your butt over here. And it's like, okay, I'm on my way. I like you, I have a dentist that is incredibly nice people. It just doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter how nice the people are at the dentist office. There's nothing that's going to make me want to go there.
This is true.
So at least it's a little less painful, you know, mentally when you get there, if they're nice folks.
Yeah, it's always the fear of something worse happening if you don't go that gets you there.
And then the other problem is, as many of you who are listening are going to find out, those of you who are younger, someday there's a possibility you will outlive some of your dental work.
Yeah. Well, the dentist techniques and if you take care of your teeth, you stand a much better chance than you did many years ago. Okay, so Embassy Suites isn't so Swedish anymore.
I stayed with a group in Virginia Beach at a beautiful, fairly new Embassy Suites. Looked beautiful on the outside, but I want to tell you something. You know how Embassy Suites? This was their brag. Lots of space. They called them suites, but really what they were was kind of a hotel room and a half, you know, a good-sized room with kind of a two-thirds divider and the refrigerator and the closet and all that stuff on the other side. No question that it was a much bigger accommodation than a typical hotel room. And you had room for your suitcases and room to be able to walk around the room and not run into your suitcases and stuff like that. It was wonderful. And there are other two claims to fame, of course. Free breakfast and free cocktails in the evening. And they were the first people to do this, and it was their brand for many years, and people considered those to be things of value, you know, breakfast. And the breakfasts have deteriorated a little bit. They've become a little more institutional. They look more like a Hampton Inn breakfast. They still have omelets cooked to order, so they're still trying to stand out there. And they still have free beverages in the evening, although in many cases now the properties limit you to a couple. But the accommodations in the new build hotels are changing a lot.
Really?
I'm a like top tier, over the top, lifetime, forever grand poobah at Hilton, because I've been doing this for a long time. And so it doesn't always get me the best room in the house, but it generally keeps me out of the worst room in the house.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, exactly. And that didn't happen this time. Went to Virginia Beach, very nice Embassy Suites with an ocean view, side ocean view out of the hotel, except that the Embassy Suites room that I got was not a suite at all. In fact, it was barely a hotel room. There was no place to put a suitcase anywhere on the floor. There was, the desk, if you were sitting at the desk, you couldn't have seen the television set. There was just in the middle of the night, I got up and ran into the corner of the bed because it was that tight. And there was a piece of wood that was unexposed. And that was a week and a half ago. And I still have the open wound to prove it. Yeah. The room was just ridiculously small. It wasn't even an average hotel room. Embassy Suites hotels, in case you're forgetting what we're talking about here. So the next time that you go to check into one, just know that Embassy Suites are not standard builds anymore. You don't go up to your room and you already know what it's going to look like. Not the case. And this room, and even though I called attention to the manager in the hotel that myself and a couple of other people in our group had these rooms, he offered no adjustments or no anything. So I thought to myself, well, I'm going to come back and trash the whole brand on the radio and make sure that people at least in Sacramento know that when you book an Embassy Suites hotel, you better ask some questions about sizes of the rooms, particularly if you're asking, if you're getting rooms that are adjoining, you know, because this is what happened to us. I have somebody who travels with me because I can't travel alone anymore for a medical reason. And so oftentimes the rooms are adjoining with a door that, that is open between the two rooms. And that may have been what got me this time, but that room could have been sold without the room being open, and it wouldn't have been a legitimate Embassy Suites room. It was more like an old New York apartment. I'm sure people in Manhattan have paid lots of money to live in accommodations like this. It just was not up to anybody's standard, and you couldn't have called it a suite. I went online and looked up some of the hotel industry's definitions of suites, and it's pretty broad-based and pretty open. But this room did not fit the definition of a suite in any way, shape, or form. So if you're going to stay in an Embassy Suites hotel, make sure that you check out ahead of time what the square footage of the room is. Because if you're getting something that's less than about 900 to 1,200 square feet, it's not a suite by any definition.
Wow. Well, they oftentimes, when you go to the website, it'll have a little drawing, if you will, of what the shape and size of the room is. So I guess that's the one that you're going to want to have to look at real closely. Or, you know, if you want to spend the time, and sometimes it's a good idea to do so, is ask to see the room ahead of time before you finally check into
yes,
it.
Yes, or call that way if you check with the hotel the day before. This is a little known trick that I'll share. You could call the Embassy Suites and just say, hey, you know, I'm a little concerned. I've heard that some of the newer hotels, all the rooms are the same, and I just want to make sure that I'm getting a full-size suite. And it's possible that you can get somebody on the phone who might make a little note in your record, and when you get there the next day, no surprises. So not a bad idea at all. Good point, Mr. Romano.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it sometimes it's okay, you know, if that's, it may not matter to you. It's just that you just don't need these kind of surprises when you're on a trip.
Absolutely. Okay, a couple of quick things here at the end of the odds and ends segment. Hotel lobby is apparently working behind the scenes pretty hard to restrict with the government to restrict short-term rentals to try to create some situations that would make it a little bit hard. There, short-term rentals have got some real issues. And the hotels are trying to exploit that. Imagine that with lobbying and the like, because short-term rentals are biting into hotel revenue. So that would make perfect sense. Our friend Joe Brancatelli, who is the most cantankerous columnist out there that I know of, we got to have Joe on the show again one of these days. He reports that you can now buy White Castle sliders in the airport in, where is this, at Boston Logan Airport, Terminal A. There
machine?
Is a White Castle slider machine. If you have no idea what White Castle is, it is the Midwest answer to In-N-Out Burger, but it is, if In-N-Out Burger is on a 1 to 10 is a 10, White Castle is a 1.5. That should get me some emails.
Now, let me ask you real quick here. The standard small White Castle burgers with the horrible onions on them, and you can buy them out of a vending machine now.
And with holes in the middle of the burger. Yeah, it's barely a hamburger, but some people in the Midwest swear by them. Yeah. So anyway, if you're in Boston Logan in Terminal A, Joe says you can get some there. And finally, if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, we have posted a list from the state of California about holiday lights, where to see holiday lights. And you're going to say, well, but Mark, it's almost Christmas and a lot of these special events on your list have already happened. The best time to plan for next year's holiday lights is checking out a list of this year's holiday lights, because that will tell you who has them, when they're up, etc. So do a little homework if you're planning on a little trip, local or otherwise, next year, and check out the list of this year's holiday lights at TravelGuysRadio.com. And that is all I've got for you.
You know, last week we mentioned that we were going to do a mailbag segment, and
we did.
Clearly we did not do that. So next week, Mark, Travel Guys Mailbag?
We will. Send your questions to TravelGuysRadio.com. We will answer almost anything on the air.
In the meantime.
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends.